voice of Westchester, 1460 WVOX.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to the Sons of the American Legion radio report, broadcast on WVOX AM 1460 and heard around the world on WVOX.com. This is Jack McGuirk, along with Ken Kratzer and John Turan, bringing you this half hour of discussion of issues related to veterans and the active military. Now here's Ken.
Hey, thanks, Jack, and good afternoon, everyone. Listening to the Sons of the American Legion radio report, John Turan, how are you?
I am well, Ken, and very thankful that we've broken our heat wave.
Absolutely. Now, John, we have a very special guest on the line, and that is a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. I'd like to start up by introducing him, and that is the general manager of the New York Mets, Sandy Alderson. Sandy, how are you today?
I'm fine, Ken. Thanks.
Hey, Sandy, again, we want to appreciate your keeping this appointment with us. We know it's a very busy time of year for you, but we wanted to hear a little bit about and discuss with you, as we do with veterans every week here on WVOX and Sons of America Legion Reports. We talk to veterans and hear their story, and also your father's story. He was, like John Turan and my dad, a World War II veteran. But tell us first, if you would, Sandy, a little bit about your experience as a officer in the United States Marine Corps back in the Vietnam era.
Well, I went into the Marine Corps through Naval ROTC. I was an ROTC student at Dartmouth College and graduated in 1969. Went to the basic school, was commissioned 0302 infantry officer. Spent, I think, about 8 months at Vietnamese language school in Monterey, California. Then went over to Vietnam. I was with the 2nd Battalion, 1st Marines for a period of time, and then with the regimental CP for the balance. I was only there 8 months. They pulled all the Marines, or at least the 1st Marine Division, out of Vietnam in, it was May of 1970. Left there and went to Marine Barracks 8th and I in Washington, D.C., and was there for 2 years and had the good fortune of commanding the Silent Drill Team, Marine Corps Silent Drill Team, for a year or so. So that was it for my active duty service, and I stayed in the reserves for a period of time.
Now, Sandy, I know your dad also served, and tell us a little bit about him, because he didn't just serve in World War II. There was additional service that he performed for the United States.
Yeah, he was in the Air Force, retired, I think, in 1976. He had over 30 years, was a B-24 pilot in World War II in 1944-45, got out, went to college. Was recalled for the Korean War, toward the tail end of the Korean War, flew B-26s in the Korean War, and then had two full tours in Southeast Asia. He was a B-57 pilot at a place called Phan Rang in 1967.
Wow.
And he was in Thailand and taught and flew missions with Laotian pilots during that period of time. So he had a full career, spanned a lot of time, and was a great man and a great inspiration to me.
Now, you've also been one of these individuals who I think can reflect on this. I've heard it said about Marines that they wouldn't trade the experience for anything in their life, but they wouldn't want to do it again for anything either. What did you learn in the Marines that is carried over into your life after the Marines?
Well, there's no question that my 4 years in the Marine Corps were life-shaping, not just career-shaping, but I think life-shaping. You know, it's one of those great American institutions, the Marine Corps. And, you know, what I think I learned was, you know, a variety of things, but the importance of discipline, but at the same time, the importance of initiative and creativity within a framework of discipline and order, teamwork, incredibly important in almost any aspect of life, certainly in the military. It's probably my greatest exposure to diversity. You know, the military historically has, I think, been as diverse an institution in the United States as any. And one of the things I really enjoyed about the military was being exposed to all sorts of people, all types, different backgrounds, different socioeconomic circumstances, but, you know, all coming together for a common purpose. Maybe most important is just how important the mission is, the objective, you know, whatever it is you're trying to achieve, keeping your eyes focused on it. And so some great lessons from the Marine Corps and some great experiences and friends as a result, too.
And Sandy, we're talking with Sandy Alderson, the general manager of the New York Mets organization and a veteran of the United States Marine Corps during Vietnam. And we did want to extend our condolences on the passing of your father last fall, very tragically, in Florida. But you mentioned that he flew B-24s, B-36s, and B-57s. Those are three of the Air Force's most famous airplanes. And obviously the B-24 was an Army Air Force plane during World War II. That was quite a career flying those three particular airplanes.
Yeah, I think he had 30, not quite, I think it was 32 missions in Europe. And, you know, you think about aircraft today, and most of them are single-seat or maybe two-seaters, but I think they had a crew of 10 or so, and pretty much stayed together for all of their missions. An incredible experience, and just to think about the length of the missions, and you know, they'd go 12, 14 hours, and you know, those bomber pilots, it was stay on course, and whatever came, but just incredible endurance and tenacity among those, you know, those bomber pilots in World War II. Flew the B-57 in Vietnam, which was a two-seater. I actually got to fly with him in Vietnam.
Oh, cool.
We heard that, yeah.
Yeah. But that was the Canberra, and they flew some close air support in South Vietnam, although I never saw them. And then they also flew at night in up in North Vietnam and intercepted trucks and convoys and things like that. But you know, he really enjoyed the Air Force life, and I looked up to him, and we lived a lot of different places. Sometimes I think as an Army brat or an Air Force brat, you learn as much as you do of being in the military yourself. You know, those formative years when you're growing and having to move every 3 or 4 years and meet a new group of friends and try to maintain your old group of friends. And special upbringing, a special community, and you know, whether you're in it as a dependent or a service member, I think, a great experience.
Well, we had a chance a couple of years ago to meet Bob Dupay, the former president and COO of Major League Baseball, at an event at Shea Stadium run by the U.S. Army, a Freedom Team salute that he was honored at. He was also a Vietnam-era veteran. I guess there's really something special about somebody who has that military experience and can go into an organization and provide leadership and direction.
Well, it's, you know, when I got into baseball back in 1981, I had no experience whatsoever in the game. And I think what gave me credibility among even baseball people was the fact that I'd been a Marine. I think there was enough respect for me just in that regard that it kind of gave me a chance, got me over the hump. I mean, I didn't wear it on my sleeve, but you know, there was a respect there that most people coming from outside of baseball didn't get, and or you know, a little slack because of my Marine Corps experience. So you know, in many ways, it was pivotal to my early career in baseball. You know, leadership is a funny thing. It different leaders fit different situations. I think very seldom do good leaders fit an array of leadership situations. But if you're going to find somebody like that, you typically are going to find them in the military because they're exposed to that over periods of time. And whether it's, you know, in a foxhole or a CP or the Pentagon or what have you, you do find those people. And I think it's one of the reasons that private enterprise is beginning to look at veterans again in a different light, because they do bring a variety of experience in a variety of situations. It requires, you know, a well-rounded set of leadership skills that you're not going to develop in most other places.
Well, Sandy, we're going to have to take a brief break for Fox News. We hope you can stay with us. You're listening to the Sons of the American Legion radio report here on WVOX 1460 AM and heard worldwide at WVOX.com. Stay tuned with more conversation with Marine Corps veteran and New York Mets general manager Sandy Alderson after this brief Fox News break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Sons of the American Legion radio report, broadcast on WVOX AM 1460 and heard around the world on WVOX.com. Joining us on the line is Marine Corps veteran and general manager of the New York Mets, Sandy Alderson. And now here with Morris Ken.
Hey, thanks, Jack. And again, here on the Sons of the American Legion report, we have the great opportunity to talk with Sandy Alderson, a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps, and also the general manager of the New York Mets. And Sandy, one of the things that we've seen that you have taken several Mets players and staff coaches to visit wounded warriors at several hospitals in the New York area and also Walter Reed Hospital. What is it like for the players and staff that you bring into those military facilities, and what is the reaction that you get from the injured veterans that you talk to?
Well, it's been a great experience for all of us who've been able to visit the hospitals. When I was in San Diego with the Padres, spent time at Balboa Naval Hospital there. And here, you know, we've gone to Walter Reed, the Veterans Hospital here in New York. You know, for those of us who have a chance to go, it's really a tremendous experience. For one thing, you know, we get to learn firsthand the sacrifices that many are making for our country and our freedom and the lives that we get to lead. And it's not only inspirational, but it's very sobering and puts lots of different things in perspective, I think, for those who've never been exposed to the military or those who serve. It's great for us, too, because we get to be a sounding board for those that are in the hospital. And it's incredible how motivated they are, either to continue their work in the service or how proud they are that they were able to serve, notwithstanding the injuries that they've suffered. And probably most importantly, how much concern they have for their contemporaries, their fellow soldiers or Marines or what have you.
Well, sir, I'm sure the veterans that you visit in the hospitals really appreciate chatting with some of the stars of the Mets and yourself and maybe getting an autographed baseball. It really must make the day for them.
Yeah, no, that's the kind of thing that we get to bring. It's one of the great things about being involved in something like baseball is you get to share it with other people. And that's true in a hospital and a military hospital, other hospitals, different places. You know, actually quite often you'll run into service members who are fans of other teams and yet we still have a great time. It's about the conversation and given those guys and some women, you know, just a chance to talk about their experiences and you know, through their allegiances with different teams and so forth, we were able to carry on conversations. In my case, because I was in the military, you know, I sort of know to some extent the context of their experience and what happened, and so I can be a good listener also.
And we're involved with New York City Fleet Week. We know how much the sailors and Marines who come into New York enjoy going to the baseball games. each year. And one thing I mention to athletes sometimes, we hear it in our coverage of West Point football, is how much the soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen overseas follow sports back in the United States. And I often say how much, you know, they may get a chance to see the morning paper and see how their hometown, you know, their favorite baseball team did that day. And that may be the highlight of their day, that, and, you know, maybe the chances they get to get a call or an email home.
Yep. Yeah, I I think it's, you know, those are the kinds of things that tie one back to the, what we used to call it, the real world. And that's a responsibility that those in professional sports and, I guess, entertainment and others share. And, you know, it's one of the motivations for trying to put a good team on the field, because you realize how many people do rely on the team as you know, as a source of entertainment and an object of their loyalty and emotional investment day in, day out. And certainly that's true with the troops overseas.
Now, you wear many hats as general manager over there. I know that one of them is involved with scouting and making sure that the Mets have good players that are coming along. The American Legion is trying to develop ball players and has tried to do so now for more than half a century. Tell us a little bit about how the American Legion ball has played into the New York Mets. I know it played a significant role with a certain draft choice this year.
Yeah, no, our number one draft pick out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, only plays American Legion baseball. There's no high school baseball in Wyoming. So the Legion ball that he plays is really was his only avenue.
That's Brandon Nemo.
Brandon Nemo,
right.
So the, you know, the Legion programs, though, exist all over the country and have been very important over the years. I myself played American Legion ball when I was in high school, and you know, it was the summer extension of baseball for most of us who were, you know, in high school, maybe juniors or seniors, and it was a great experience. So American Legion baseball has played a big role in development of players in the United States over a number of years. And while I was at MLB in New York, I think this is still true. The winners of the American Legion World Series are honored at the World Series each year with a trip and acknowledgement at a game. So it continues to be a connection between Major League Baseball and American Legion ball.
No, we certainly appreciate that. Over 100,000 youth play American Legion baseball age 15 to 19, and they have their World Series coming up in mid-August down in North Carolina, which I understand is going to have ESPN coverage this year.
Great.
Sandy, one thing we want to ask you, and you're kind of an expert in this from running a major league team and, you know, current event, and it was a sad event up at West Point, which we cover very closely, of one of the young cadets dying actually after a day of actually even light training in the heat. You have teams playing all through the Southeast and in Florida through the summer, and you hosted a game on Thursday, just, you know, on a very hot day. What are some of your thoughts? I know the organization does a lot of work to prepare its players, and then also hosting an event when you have a very extraordinary hot weather.
Well, you know, it's amazing with all the medical advances we've had throughout the years that heat exhaustion, heat stroke, sunstroke, excuse me, can still be fatal. And I think it's partly because, you know, heat is a stressor, and we don't really know in some cases whether we're vulnerable because of a heart or some other part of our body. And the heat can be put a tremendous stress on the body, and in most cases the body is able to survive that or combat that, but in some cases not. You know, staying hydrated and doing all of the typical things is important, and you can do things on an institutional level to make sure that everybody's getting the water, the hydration that they need. But ultimately, you know, there are some of us who need more than others, and it's just very hard to predict. It's a real tragedy that it occurred, and as you pointed out in this instance, it wasn't really high stress activity. It was a more mild version, and yet those human beings respond to things differently. And in this particular case, I guess really responded adversely to the heat. So as a professional sports team, we do what we can to prepare our players. We just had a player taken out of the game yesterday because of heat exhaustion down in Miami, our center fielder, Angel Pagan. So you never know.
Now, Ken and I are both great baseball fans. We've gone to Cinney Field many times. You're one of the people who helped, at least from our understanding, to modify how people and players are evaluated. Tell us a little bit about how the consideration of statistics such as batting average and RBI now are combined with other statistics that come in there. This is a new style that basically came in and was illustrated in the book Moneyball. Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when I got involved in baseball back in 1981, as I said earlier in our conversation, I didn't really have any experience. And so 2 years after I joined the Oakland A's, I became the general manager, and I was looking around for a way to make personnel decisions. I wasn't a scout. I hadn't been a scout. I hadn't been in baseball very long. Didn't have that kind of experience. But about that time, there were several people, including a guy named Bill James, another by the name of Eric Walker, who were writing about baseball and writing about a new statistical approach to player evaluation, which really emphasized things like on-base percentage more than batting average or other things, and related that individual performance to team success. And so it struck me as being a sort of sound theory, and so we began using it to some extent as early as 1983-84, and used it in a variety of ways and looking at players that we acquired. We kept it quiet for a long time, in part because it was so new, and because I was so new, people would look at me and say, you know, who's this kid, and how did this possibly work? And so we didn't want to get into that kind of public discussion.
Sandy, unfortunately, we've just about run out of time. We could certainly talk to you for another hour. Ken and I really thank you for phoning in today.
Sure.
Yes, thank you, Sandy, and thank you for your service in the Marine Corps and that of your father.
And your father. Thanks again. We hope to speak to you again.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Sons of the American Legion radio report here on WVOX 1460 AM and heard worldwide at WVOX.com. We thank our special guest today, Sandy Alderson, the general manager of the New York Mets. Remember to tune in next week for our guest, Greg Doc Gibbs, the New York State Commander of the American Legion. We also thank our engineer, Chris Clark. And until then, remember to thank a veteran.